listening to Coffee Talk with Father Brad.
I'm going to teach you and pray with you a prayer that is a very, very powerful prayer. It's in many of the sacraments. In fact, exorcists use it all the time for exorcisms, right? In spiritual warfare. It's powerful with spiritual warfare. You want to learn this powerful prayer? Okay, let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's it. You got it. The sign of the cross. Used in every exorcism, used in every sacrament. Hopefully before every meal. And yet we forget it. We run right past it. Most of us, it was the first prayer we learned. And for many of us, it'll be the last thing we do. When you teach a kid the sign of the cross, it's so cute, isn't it? They got to figure it out. And at first, they're just going, right? Or they do the circle one, they go like right, left, bottom. I mean, there's like five persons of the Trinity by the time a kid's done with his sign of the cross. Right? And why do I bring up the sign of the cross? Is because it is highlighting the mystery of the cross, Jesus' death for us. That's why we had the gospel today. But it's also the sign of the Trinity. This is Holy Trinity Sunday. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sign ourselves every time, not just with the cross, but with the Trinity. And as I said, with things so familiar and foundational, we can tend to allow it to pass by without appreciating it. So I'm going to give an apology for the sign of the cross. I don't mean apology in the way we sometimes use it today, like I'm saying I'm sorry for the sign of the cross. No, I'm giving an apology in the ancient way understanding of the word, which is an account for, a reason for. I'm going to explain the place of the sign of the cross in Christian life. And so, here's my apologetic for the sign of the cross, the sign of the Trinity that we use as Catholics. Number one, the sign of the cross is good because it's sacramental. What does sacramental mean? It means it includes the body and the soul. Right? As human beings, we're both body and soul. We communicate with our bodies and with our senses. In fact, we cannot communicate any other way. We can't read minds. So even if we are saying something to someone, we're using what? Our mouth, our vocal cords, our eardrums, right? Sometimes you don't even have to say something to other people to express it. What does a hug say? I mean, we can recognize now as we're deep into this situation with coronavirus, how important physical touch is. I went to do an anointing. I'm going to tell on myself, but it's okay. Don't tell the bishop. I went to do an anointing. And it was a beautiful, and I'll come back to this particular anointing at the end of this homily, but the whole family was there, and it was beautiful. We prayed. We prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I left the room, and the matriarch of the family just looked at me, and she walked over, and she just hugged me. It was the first time I had hugged anyone in like 2 months. I wasn't supposed to hug her, but you know what? I did. Well, actually, she just hugged me. Like, I had no choice. And I realized in that moment, I'm like, whoa, the body is important. How we say things. And God uses that too. In the sacraments. Water and oil, right? Incense and bread. Taste, touch, sight, smell. And so the sign of the cross, if we're going to pray, should be sacramental. We should use our bodies. how does a Protestant sports player, like athlete, show his faith? He might pull a Tebow, okay? Kneel down like that. You don't remember the Tebow. Anyway, that was very 2011. He might pull a Tebow, but a lot of times, it's a sign of the cross. I remember looking up at some point. I would see guys, you know, score a touchdown, do the side of the cross, point up. I'm like, oh, man, they must be Catholic. And I said that enough. My dad's like, they're not Catholic, most of them. And I looked it up, and they weren't. But why were they doing the sign of the cross? Because they desire to show the world, use their platform to show the world their own faith. And they needed to use their bodies. So the sign of the cross is good because it's sacramental. Secondly, it's instructive. It calls to mind, as we said at the beginning of this homily, the faith of the cross, or the reality of the cross, Jesus' love for us, like that he died for us. It's a catechism in one movement, in a very short prayer. Jesus, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die for us, right? Our gospel from the Gospel of John today. And not just that, but the Trinity, that we believe as Christians, yes, we're monotheistic. We believe in one God, three persons. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even some Christians, Eastern Christians particularly, but it's made its way into the West. Well, you know, how do you hold your hand when you do the sign of the cross? It's interesting to think about. You probably just do it. All right, everyone do it. Ready, set, go. Okay, so most people are like this, right? Well, I'll give you something. How about this? A lot of Christians will hold three fingers right here for the three persons of the Trinity. And these two fingers represent the two natures of Christ. Fully God, fully man. You see it in iconography and really good Christian art. And so maybe do the sign of the cross like that. You know, two natures of Christ, three persons of the Trinity. It can be instructive. Third, it's scriptural and ancient. Now, the words the sign of the cross aren't in the Bible, but the words Trinity aren't in the Bible. We believe that, and every Christian would believe that. So where is it in the Bible? Where do we see it? Well, Paul, 2 Corinthians, we read from 2 Corinthians today. The one who gives us security with you in Christ and who anointed us is God. He has also put his seal upon us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. So the seal that he places on us. In the book of Revelation, it says, then I saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. So here's the seal again. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea or trees until we have put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal. 144,000 marked from every tribe of the Israelites. So the book of Revelation, looking forward, right? Looking into heaven. Who is in heaven? The ones marked with a seal on their foreheads. Again, you might ask, well, what's this seal? Is it the cross? Is it the sign of the cross? Let's look to the Old Testament, another apocalyptic book, Ezekiel. God is asking, a linen-clad man, so dressed like me, basically, to pass through Jerusalem and mark the believers so they can be saved. He says this, the Lord said to him, pass through the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and mark the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the abominations practiced within it. Again, so mark those who will be saved. It should call to mind Exodus. It should call to mind the angel of death passing over because our doorposts are marked with the blood of the Lamb. And so our foreheads are marked. The Hebrew word for mark is the same word of the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In Greek, it's called a tau. You know what a tau is? Boop. I don't know why I made that noise, but it's a cross. It's a cross. So Ezekiel says, that the saved will be marked on their forehead with a cross. And John sees into heaven and sees the saved marked with the cross. Guys, this is where it is in Scripture. And in tradition, the church fathers, I have some more quotes. I don't feel like reading them because you don't need it. We don't need it. We already got it. It's there. We should not be afraid of the sign of the cross. I don't understand why some people would refuse to do the sign of the cross. It's a sign of Jesus' love for us. It's a recognition of our faith in the Trinity. And it's scripturally foundational. It's the first thing we learn. And as I said at the beginning of this homily, it might be the last thing we do. There's many, many people that I've met, that I've seen, that I've ministered to, that I've prayed with. And they might not know anybody's name. Dementia might have taken everything from them. But I say the sign of the cross, what do? They do the sign of the cross. Because it's the last thing they have. And it will not be taken from them. I walked into that house during this corona tide. The one where I got the hug. And I walked into this room, and this family was beautiful. And I did the sign of the cross at the end of the anointing. And the gentleman couldn't do it. He went to lift his hand. He wanted to do the sign of the cross. He didn't have the strength. But his family did it for him. I did it for him. I marked him with the sign of the cross, as he did when he was little and throughout his whole life. Do not take for granted the beauty of that sign. So from here on out, let's do it. Because it's the sign of our salvation.
Hey guys, happy Sunday morning of Holy Trinity Sunday. Real quick, suggestion for music today. Holy, Holy, Holy by Sufjan Stevens, one of my favorite beautifully haunting little ditties. But I wanted to do some housekeeping. We have some action in the background of the show. One, an overview for Patreon. Patreon is doing very, very well. I'm really grateful. Me and Grace are both very grateful. We have 27 patrons, which is fantastic, and we're receiving $105 a month. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about where that money's going. We added another subscription to another kind of site. It provides royalty-free music for podcasts and YouTube stuff, and we're going to be including a little bit more different music, so it's not just the same over and over. We have two new patrons since the last time I did an update. Carrie Morvan has joined back up. And we have Rebecca Procure. Rebecca's from Canada, so really excited. It's our second international patron. She is holding down the fort up in New Brunswick. So welcome to the team. And now for reviews. Okay, funny thing. I didn't know that iTunes did not show me international reviews. So if you're in another country, let's say Australia or Canada, as we have here today, it does not show up on my United States version of iTunes. So I invested in something called My Podcast Reviews. It's a little bitty fee, but I make sure that all the reviews come to me and they get emailed to me. So there's nobody leaving a review that's not getting recognized. So we had some in the backlog that I didn't know about. We had, first, let's just go in order. May 17th, 2020, Denise Santu says the following. She gave 5 stars. Thanks, Denise. She says, thank you, Father, for your vocation. Your show is amazing. Praise be God. I agree. Praise be God in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thanks, Denise. And yeah, reach out through quizzicalpapist@gmail.com and tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where are you listening from? That'd be interesting. Here are the two that I received from my podcast review, the international ones. Okay, first we have, on April 2nd, 2020. We have from Australia, Kay Shaw from Australia gave 5 stars. He said, love it. I think I somehow stumbled across this hidden gem in the world of Catholic podcasts on the first or second episode. And it is now one of those podcasts that I really look forward to hearing. Father Brad's passion for pub trivia shines through in what is really well put together trivia format. It is a great mix of banter, humor, and challenging questions. I always learn something new each episode. This podcast really fills the niche in the world of Catholic podcasts. Love the Coffee Talk episodes as well. As a Catholic school educator, I really appreciate Grace's input on these topics as well. Well done, guys. I can't recommend this podcast enough. What a well-written review. Thank you so much. Humbled. I really like that you use the word niche. I was going to do it in an Australian accent. Nah, I ain't going to insult you like that. So thank you so much from Australia. And then I think this might be Rebecca, but on May 24th, 2020, 5 stars from Canada, trivia and Catholic talk, ? Is it a quiz show? Is it a Catholic podcast? Who cares? It's great fun. Quizzical Papist episodes cause you to call out answers and then chuckle at the banter. Not Catholic? Not to worry. The religious bits are wedded into the chat and you won't notice as you'll find yourself enjoying every moment. It's the first time someone has pointed out that this might be interesting to people who might not be Catholic. That's something we pride ourselves in, at least I do, being accessible to all people and drawing all people into relationship with Jesus Christ eventually. So thank you all so much for your reviews. And if you want to leave a review, no matter where you are in the world, you can do so and I will get it and you will get a shout out. If you want to help with, we had a little less involvement with coming up with questions recently, but email questions, ideas for introit to quizzicalpapist@gmail.com. Till next week, God bless. Peace.